So we're now moving on to the painting that I was sitting in front of today. And this is painted, well, first of all, I'll tell you, it's called The Ambassadors. It's painted in 1533 by Hans Holbein. Hans Holbein was born in Germany, lived in Switzerland, and then came to England and becomes the court painter to our King Henry VIII. And what you see here is, well, some people, if they don't know the painting, I'm sure many of you do know it because it's very well known, but some people mistake the man on the left-hand side for King Henry VIII. And I think perhaps Holbein might have used King Henry VIII as a model for the man, although the man on the left is indeed a real person, and he is the French ambassador to the court of England in 1533. His name is Jean de Dondeville, and the man on the right is his mate, and that's Georges de Selve, who is also an ambassador. He's actually ambassador to the Vatican, to the Pope, and he is also a bishop. And what's interesting, you see straight away, I think, how magnificently dressed they both are. He's much more flamboyantly dressed on the left-hand side. I think you'll agree he looks more flamboyant, just in a way that he's kind of standing. Whereas the man on the right is actually very expensively dressed with that fur-lined robe, but much more perhaps conservative, as you might expect a bishop to be. So there's quite an interesting contrast, isn't there, between the two men. So let's take a little closer look. We know, actually, quite a lot of detail about the men, thanks to Holbein's details. So if we go close in onto Jean de Dondeville's sleeve, and by the way, look at this wonderful fashion here. This is called pinking, where you slice through your lovely sort of pink satin and you pull through your white shirt underneath just to prove that you can afford expensive fabrics. And the his name actually is inscribed on his the hilt of his dagger there, and it does tell us he's 29 years old. There's a book that the other one is leaning on just there. If I close in on that, the book actually tells us that this man is in his 24th year. So we even know the ages of the two men. Now let's go and have a little look at... we'll notice now that they've got this table that they're leaning on, and the table has objects on the top and it has objects on the bottom. There's a very strange-looking object here at the bottom of the painting. So let's take a closer look at the objects. The objects on the top are all scientific instruments. They're all related to things that measure things in the heavens or in the sky. So you've got a celestial globe here. You've got a sundial or a sextant, which measures the height of the sun in the sky, and various other instruments. And of course, these are men of learning. That's very important. You know, the Renaissance is about, you know, the beginnings, the emergence of science. On the bottom, we can see earthly objects. We can see a globe, which is a terrestrial globe. We can see a lute, which of course is a musical instrument. We can see a hymn book, and we can see a book of mathematics, which very curiously has a divider acting as a bookmark at that particular page. Now, if we get really close in, we start to discover there are lots of hidden secrets, because if we look at the lute, very fine detail, but can you notice that the hair, there's a stray hair. Well, it's not a hair, of course. It's actually a broken string, isn't it? Now, what do you get if you have a broken string on a musical instrument? You get discord or disharmony. What if I were to tell you that this hymn in the hymn book was written, in fact, by Martin Luther? Martin Luther was the man who in 1517 had begun the Protestant Reformation in Europe. He was the one that started to protest against the abuses within the Roman Catholic Church. And of course, remember, in 1533, the year that this is painted, that's the year that King Henry VIII breaks with the Roman Catholic Church. Now, interestingly, at the bottom, we have this incredible, strange-looking symbol. And I always make people guess or try and guess what it is when we're in the gallery. Many of you will perhaps know what it is. You might be able to work it out by looking at it. But it's a distortion. It's a distorted object, what we call anamorphism in art. And it's actually a skull. And skulls were very common in religious paintings and also in secular paintings like this to remind us, of course, of death. and that no matter how wealthy we might be, how wealthy those men might be, how well educated they might be, how cultured they might be with all their Renaissance, you know, instruments and books and things, you know, that death awaits us all. Death is always there just around the corner. And what's interesting is one little detail that most people miss, but tucked behind the curtain in the upper left-hand corner of the painting is actually an image of Christ on the cross. And people, I mean, one could read so much into this painting, but one of the sort of messages is perhaps that it doesn't matter what religion you are, whether you're Catholic or whether you're Protestant, at the end of the day, salvation lies really, of course, with our Redeemer in Christ. So it's quite interesting. Hans Holbein, of course, was in that great tradition of those Northern Renaissance artists. So he's in that great tradition of people like Jan van Eyck, who we looked at with the Arnolfini. And again, just the detail, look at the detail of the green damask curtain. Look at the fur, which is lynx fur, by the way, very, very expensive. You can see the edges of the fur. And by the way, I just thought I'd now go back to the gallery, as it were, back into the National Gallery, into the room where it is. And we can see, I hope you can see a little bit more now, that side on, when you look at the painting, that's when the skull starts to appear. And it actually hung originally in John de Dontville's chateau in France. So as you walked in, you saw the painting on the right, and the first thing that would have struck you was that skull. Probably the first thing you'd have noticed was the skull. It probably would have shocked you when you first saw it, that reminder of death. And by the way, just at the moment in the National Gallery, well, I say at the moment, I mean, we know it's not open, but hopefully when it is open in 2 months' time, you'll also see this next to the ambassadors, which is a cartoon also by Hans Holbein, and it's of King Henry VIII. And it's Holbein that gives us our image of King Henry VIII, the great, wide, powerful, majestic king. This is a cartoon, it's another cartoon, which was a preparatory drawing for a mural which was painted in Whitehall Palace, which sadly burnt down in 1698. So the original painting no longer survives, but thankfully the cartoon does. So it's quite nice to have these two next to each other at the moment, both the work of the magnificent Holbein. Now, Holbein didn't just do big stuff. He did tiny pieces as well. And we're back over at the Victoria and Albert Museum, and we're looking at what we call a portrait miniature of Henry VIII's fourth wife,